Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This football season, there are two options. Choose wisely.
It's on two, ready?
You can try to slow down the aging legends.
Rodgers with time. Will he try to run it? Throws across his body. He's got it! Touchdown!
Or attempt to defend against the young upstarts.
Herbert stops. Launches deep. Touchdown, Chargers! What a throw!
In college football, you can choose traditional power. Or party crasher.
The Mountaineers grab the attention of the college football nation again.
Let's upset the number six team in the country, baby!
This season, it's experience versus you.
Allen steps up. He's got a lane to run all day for Josh Allen after a 34-yard scamper for Josh Allen.
In 2022, it's a catch 22.
Back in the end zone! Touchdown! Catch made!
There are no easy answers. It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here on CBS Sports Radio. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. We've got NFL going on as we speak. First quarter from London, Vikings and Saints. We'll keep you up to date on that throughout the morning. Also, former Jaguars Pro Bowl running back Fred Taylor is going to join us here on the show coming up in 20 minutes. We've also got your excessive celebration, the best play-by-play calls of yesterday's college football action. And this morning, we'll look at yesterday in college football throughout the day, including Kansas still undefeated. Yes, that Kansas Jayhawks team. Clemson versus NC State in a big-time ACC tilt and a must-win game in the AFC West coming up later on today. Appreciate you being with us. So many places you can find us if you want to listen to us. There's hundreds of affiliates nationwide that carry Sunday Morning Football, and we appreciate each and every one of them. Also on SiriusXM, channel 158, you can get us, and you can listen to us on the free Odyssey app. So take us with you wherever you go. Throughout the morning today, for the next 2 hours, we got you covered on college football and the NFL. Again, the free Odyssey app is where you can listen to us on your phone or the CBS Sports app as well if you already have that app on your phone. Let's get started with yesterday in college football. And remember, last week Oklahoma took one on the chin. Oh, you had come in to the season as the favorite in the Big 12 to get to a college football playoff. And with Brent Venables in charge, there was a hope, an expectation, that the usually porous Sooners defense was going to then be much more shored up. Well, after the loss to K-State last week, expectations were yesterday in Fort Worth, Texas against TCU was a get-right day for the Sooners. How wrong we were. Let's start things off with your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safer, decent people.
D.A. is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
It's hard to fathom a worse defensive day than the Sooners had last week. But that's exactly what happened. As TCU ran wild in open space all day long, and Brent Venables' defense looked even worse than previous incarnations under Lincoln Riley and predecessor Bob Stoops. This was as ugly as it could get, and it is time to declare Oklahoma in serious trouble. Here's how it sounded yesterday from Fort Worth, Texas.
Flicks on the edge, looks down the middle of the field, he's got Gunnar Henderson, he's caught, 30,
25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, outside of the 5. Touchdown, Gunner! Hit the horn. 62 yards straight. Minute 34 to play in the hand. Frogs go up 40-17 on Oklahoma.
We're not very good, obviously, right now. I mean, we got a lot to get better at, a lot to improve. And our guys have been committed. They've worked incredibly hard. Thought they competed hard the whole day. You know, we got to give them answers, and we've got to help get them better quickly. You know, things don't get any easier for us. Disappointed again, and obviously not playing very well today in any way, shape, or form. We talked about starting fast and efficient, and you know, playing well early, and we obviously we didn't do that. You know, talent doesn't win games. Teams win games, and we got a lot to get better at to become a good football team.
That call courtesy of Learfield Sports. That was Brent Venables after the humiliation. TCU 55, Oklahoma 24. The Horned Frogs put up 27 points in the first quarter. By the time we got to halftime, this was a rout. TCU threw for 300 and ran for another 361. They put up more than 600 yards of offense on Oklahoma. And for Brent Venables, who was a longtime assistant coach, most recently at Clemson, the fact that this defense is even worse than it was prior to him is an embarrassment. It's an absolute embarrassment because that's supposed to be his side of the ball. He was supposed to come in and make Oklahoma more balanced than it had been in the past, and they're even worse. And Venables might not get year two. That's how bad this is. This is an absolute humiliation. And think about where the Sooners are a couple of years away from going to the SEC, where a defense like this would make you even look worse on a week-to-week basis. They've just given up 41 points to Kansas State and 55 points to TCU. Two unranked opponents of the Big 12 have combined for 96 points in 2 weeks. Venables better get his ass in gear. He better get this team's ass in gear because this is getting ugly real early at Oklahoma. Coming up next, they've got Texas in the Red River rivalry and then an undefeated Kansas team after that. If Oklahoma loses those two games, which is totally on the table, and they might be an underdog in both of them, they could fall to 3-4, and then you'd really start talking about whether Venables even survives the season. This is a disaster at OU. They cannot be this bad. It's one thing to say you don't have the horses. It's another thing to be poorly coached, and yesterday they were completely out of position all day long. Into the SEC, another team with big expectations that have failed to live up to it, Texas A&M. They went to Stark Vegas yesterday and got trounced. Here's how it sounded from Neil Price on Learfield Sports.
Snap, throwing deep left side, Ra-Ra Thomas makes the grab, breaks away 40, 30,
Mississippi State played a good football game, deserving to win. They played better than we did, coached better than we did, and just won the game, period. Looking at the game, we didn't play well enough, and I didn't think all three phases. We had critical errors in all three phases where it went to, starting with a couple red zone turnovers for us on offense. We didn't play well enough, had opportunities to make it. Didn't get off the field on defense, didn't keep drives, didn't hit those red zone chances on offense. When you're on the road against a good team, then we had the block kick. So basically do one thing, that's got to play better and then clean up those mistakes and get better.
That's Jimbo Fisher after the loss. A&M gets pounded by Mississippi State 42-24. What a fraud. And I'm talking about Jimbo Fisher. And I'm talking about that A&M program. What a bunch of frauds. A&M, their offense has been terrible all season long. That didn't really change much. They've gone away from Haynes King to Max Johnson. That didn't really change a lot from their offense. But defensively, this is supposed to be one of the best defensive lines in football. this is supposed to be one of the most talented defenses in football. And they give up 42 points to an unranked Bulldogs team. Now, look, Mississippi State's probably a little underrated. Yes, you were going on the road to a tough place to play, but I'm sorry. A&M and Jimbo Fisher, they have expectations of winning the SEC, expectations of getting to an SEC championship game, expectations of going to a college football playoff, and they're just an average team. This is a squad that has lost to App State at home, and you can excuse that away if you'd like, if then you come to play in the SEC schedule. If then you right your wrongs when you play your conference foes. Instead, yesterday they got run all over. And I don't want to hear about A&M building something under Jimbo Fisher that could one day take down Alabama. I don't even want to hear them discuss a college football playoff because frankly, the honesty here is that A&M is a bunch of frauds and so is Jimbo Fisher. How many years do you need to be there to get this program where they expect it to be? They paid you a lot of money, gave you another extension last year, and what do they have to show for it? A fraudulent top 25 ranking this year, and certainly they'll tumble out of the top 25 when the rankings come out today. Finally, in the NFL, the fallout continues around Tua Tagovailoa's injury. This time last week, we saw him go down with what looked to be a concussion as he stumbled on his feet. Instead, they said it was just a back injury, and he passed concussion protocol to come back into the game against the Bills. Dolphins end up winning, and then throughout the week, passed concussion protocol multiple times to play in Thursday night's game. In Thursday night's game, of course, against the Bengals, suffers a very obvious concussion, slamming his head to the turf, brought to the hospital on a stretcher, luckily released, thankfully, it wasn't more serious than it was, but yesterday we learned that the NFLPA has fired the neurologist in charge of Tua last week to allow him back in the game. Here was the call on the Miami Dolphins radio network.
Play action, Tua rolling to his left, stops. Nobody's open, Joe. He's going to be sacked back in his own territory at the 47-yard line. Tua's down.
He got body slammed. He got thrown down, and they're coming out right now. Jimmy had time to get rid of it. Instead, he gets thrown down hard, and he's not getting up. Oh, boy.
I do not have any, like, absolutely zero patience for or will ever put a player in a position to for them to be in harm's way. That is, like, not what I'm about at all. And no outcome of a game would ever influence me being irresponsible as the head coach of the football team. I don't think that an injury from last week made him fall the same way this week.
So that was obviously Mike McDaniel. Most recently talking about the Tua concussion from Thursday's game against the Bengals. So the NFLPA, the Players Association, which has launched an investigation into why Tua was allowed back in the game last Sunday, has looked at the neurosurgeon or the neuroanalyst from last Sunday's game and the consultant. They have fired that consultant. And multiple sources say that that firing comes after the consultant made several mistakes in his evaluation of Tua. So this thing has gotten ugly. It'll get uglier, I'm sure. And that's really an awful reality for the NFL. Now, the NFLPA has not released the report yet, so we don't have the details of what those mistakes were. Tua is expected back at the facility tomorrow with the Dolphins. He's expected to be interviewed about this by the NFLPA. Let's see if we get those findings made public. But this is a worst-case scenario for the NFL because it does not suggest wrongdoing from the Dolphins' standpoint, which is what a lot of people would have assumed. Well, the Dolphins want him back out there to play. Instead, it would be an unaffiliated neurology consultant who was there employed just to make sure players are safe, making mistakes if this report is true, if the investigation is right. And that is the worst case scenario, because that guy is supposed to be there to specifically protect the player from any further harm and not be in the pocket of the team that may want him back and not be influenced by a player that might want to get back onto the field. So if you have neurologists out there that are making mistakes and are overlooking troubling signs, now that's where it really gets slippery, because that should be the line of defense that you can trust. You want to tell me you can't trust team doctors? They've got, you know, a paycheck from the team. You can't trust players, to be honest with you. You can't trust coaches in the heat of the moment. All of that I'll buy. But if you can't trust the independent neurologist to do the right thing, well, now we've got serious, serious issues. I'm sure more on this as the week unfolds. The Tua Tagovailoa story continues with plenty of fallout. The Dolphins obviously have off this weekend because they played on Thursday. They'll play next weekend at MetLife Stadium against the Jets. All right, we are off and running here on Sunday Morning Football. That was your Sunday Gunslinger. Coming up here next, we'll talk to a man who has been an NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalist multiple times in a row, who also just saw the offensive lineman who blocked for him get into Canton. Tony Boselli was the first Jaguars inductee this past summer. Will running back Fred Taylor follow him this winter and then induction next summer? We'll talk to Fred about the breakout performances by the Jaguars the last 2 weeks when they beat up and shut out the Colts 2 weeks ago and then last week went to L.A. and pounded the Chargers. Former Jags and Patriots running back Fred Taylor is going to join us coming up here next for our Sunday conversation. D.A. with you here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. D.A. with you. This is Sunday Morning Football. So glad you're with us, and joining us next here on the show, he is a member of the NFL's 10,000-yard rushing club. He was a second-team All-Pro and a Pro Bowler during his glory years in Jacksonville with the Jaguars. He is also a Pro Football Hall of Fame semifinalist for a number of years in a row. Joining us this morning here on the show is Fred Taylor. Fred, good morning. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Can't be any better. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us. And let's start with your old team, the Jaguars, that impressive performance last weekend going to L.A. and just really running over a good Chargers team. Were you surprised the ease with which the Jaguars beat the Chargers last week?
You know, it's been some time since we've seen a performance from the offense in that fashion, putting up 38 points and the defense holding those guys to 10. The defense has been playing lights out. With ease, yeah, certainly surprised for that standpoint of it all. But those guys, they have a good coach now. They have a really good coach in Coach Peterson. He and Trevor Lawrence, I think they put in the work, and it's starting to show. You know, he's grooming Trevor to be the pro that everyone thought he could be. And it's really paying off to this point in the season.
What have you seen in terms of a difference in how Doug Peterson has handled this roster and this team versus Urban Meyer last year?
I mean, obviously you have one coach who is very, very successful on the college level. And you have a coach who's been successful in the pros. Two totally different approaches in their style. Mm-hmm. You know, most college coaches, successful college coaches, they tend to struggle in the pros. And for whatever reason, I really can't place a finger on it. I would like to think that on one hand, they're dealing with grown men, and you have to have a certain approach. I don't know if Coach Meyer took it extremely as serious as he should have. It seems that he didn't take it serious. You know, it was a circus for the majority part that he was there, which led to an early exit and firing by the ownership. So whether it's fair or not, I think they have a coach in there that they believe in. They believe that can get the job done. And this coach will not ruin a talent like Trevor Lawrence. Again, I think they're meshing well to this point.
Fred Taylor joins us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio, former Jaguars great, member of the 10,000-yard club rushing-wise during his days in the NFL. This team showed a lot at the end of last season when Urban had already been fired. They had nothing to play for. And they played with heart and guts against the Colts in that final regular season game. Even though they had nothing to play for, they knocked the Colts out of the postseason and beat them again in Jacksonville. What did that teach you about the players on this Jaguars roster?
You know, let's also throw in what they did with the potential Super Bowl team in the Buffalo Bills. You know, Buffalo went to the wire with the Chiefs, you know, they beat the Bills, I believe, with 6-3 just a few weeks prior to beating the Colts. But they made a great stand. You know, that defense play lights out last year, and it's just a testament to the players. You know, they get in there and they play hard, really, for any coach that's calling the plays. They didn't have a whole lot to play for other than pride and potentially wanting to knock the Colts out of the playoff, in which they did. And then to start this year, they pitched the shutout. I believe it was the sixth shutout in franchise history, and three of those belongs to the Colts, to the Indianapolis Colts. But just a prideful bunch. You know, they went out and secured the first round, the number one pick with Trayvon Walker, and he's been playing lights out. He's shown how athletic he is, such an extreme talent. The defense has been led by Josh Allen, you know, a consummate pro, a guy who's serious, a guy who's tired of losing. You know, we talk often, and he's leading that group. He just comes to work every day, and he keeps his head down, and he just wants to work. And they've put together a pretty good defense there, and we're going to have an opportunity to see if they're real, because they're going to face an extremely gifted and talented Eagles offense led by Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, and Miles Sanders in the backfield. So the challenge is up. We have an opportunity to see if they're real, and I can't wait to see that matchup.
Jaguars have been one of the most interesting teams in the first three games of the season. Had a tight game in the opening week, then shut out the Colts, then battered the Chargers, and they could be the best team in the AFC South. One of your brethren got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame last year, and Tony Boselli. You've been a semifinalist for a number of years in a row. What was it like to see a former teammate and a former Jaguar get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
It was amazing. I mean, it felt great for Tony. Also, a guy who had been knocking on the door at the semifinals for a while. He was, I think he was a finalist more times than he was a semifinalist.
Yeah.
And he knocked on that door for some time, too. And they had some questions around his induction. with the only question was that the amount of time he played, because Tony was an amazing player. I think he was an all pro each and every year. He was a Pro Bowler about each and every year he played. And if he had stayed healthy, those questions wouldn't even be questions. You know, he would have easily been a first ballot Hall of Famer. But that's besides the point. The point is he's enshrined in Canton forever. No one can ever take it away from him, and it's deservedly so. And Tony, you know, hopefully in God's timing, he will lead block for me to get into Canton, much like he led block for me when we were teammates. But big shout out to Big Bo. Again, a guy who's deserving of it, I hope to soon follow him someday.
You know, you have a very strong case for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Your yards are there. Your numbers are there. Your durability was there. I think the one thing people would look at is, well, only one Pro Bowl nod. And you actually
I mean, let's be realistic. I mean, they got rid of the Pro Bowl for a reason. The game has been a joke for more than a few decades. It's been such a joke. It's been a popularity contest when the fan votes weigh as much as the players and the coaches vote. And I can assure you that if you ask any player that I faced in my era, any Hall of Fame player for that matter, defensively, as well as offensive guys that I faced in my era, they would tell you, when you faced the Jags, we didn't think about any other players but Fred Taylor. And then when we got on the field, we got an opportunity to see the guy that we prepped for each and every week. Majority of my career, we faced the toughest defenses prior to the realignment. We faced Baltimore twice a year. We faced Pittsburgh twice a year. And the Titans were in that division. They were Super Bowl. They almost won a Super Bowl in 99, lost by a yard, right, in that Dyson play. But their defense was great for years, and we were in that same division versus a lot of other guys weren't necessarily in that division. And if you really take a deeper dive, I led the league in scrimmage yards one year, didn't get a Pro Bowl nod. I led the league in yards per game, I believe it was in 2005 or so, and I also didn't get a Pro Bowl nod that year as well. So it's been a joke. It's been more of a marketing popularity contest. A lot of guys will get nods based on if they had been in there already, if they were veteran guys. My rookie year, I could have easily been nominated. I outplayed Eddie George, and Eddie's a good friend of mine, but statistically, I outplayed him. I outplayed Randy Moss for rookie of the year, to be honest. If you really go back and look at it, Randy had two really great games along with a lot of other hype. Not to say he wasn't deserving of rookie of the year, but pound for pound, if I had played against the Dallas Cowboys team, maybe on Thanksgiving, and then against the Green Bay team and had some big catches in that game as well, I think those two games separated our Rookie of the Year award, the Rookie of the Year award, from the both of us. But I was runner-up, and that's okay. In hindsight, I still think I should have won it. But again, I'm not going to cry about those things. I just think that the accolades from the Pro Bowl, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me if that is part of the criteria. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. But I have the yardage. I have the yards per carry, I think the second highest in NFL history, along with Barry Sanders, with guys over 2,500 carries in their career. And I have an argument. But in God's timing, which is the best timing, it'll all come to fruition.
It's an interesting argument to be made, as you said, about Rookie of the Year, you versus Moss. Moss is widely considered the greatest rookie season for a wide receiver ever. But if you combined your rushing yards and your receiving yards and your rushing touchdowns and your receiving touchdowns, you guys basically were at a draw. You both would have had about 1,400 yards total, 1,500 yards total, and 17 total touchdowns. I think you would have just slightly more yards if you combine the two. So it's a fair case to be made. I think you should lead with that bad boy. That's a pretty good one.
I mean, it's a good case. And again, I think the one determining factor also, when you go back and you look at the market, the market has helped. Moss was lights out. You know, he was a guy who came in with some question marks and some baggage, but he played above that. But he still had that bad boy mentality. And sometimes when you have that edge versus a guy who's naturally quiet, you know, sometimes, you know, they tell you, well, no, you don't want to be that way. But on the flip side, it has some marketability to it. I mean, that's just the reality of society in America. It comes with that. But again, it's a strong case, and I'm not knocking Randy. We're great friends. Class of 98, we always go and say with the best draft class potentially in the history of the NFL with Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson, Randy, myself. So there's some guys out there. There's a few other guys I've left out, but it's some great players that have come out of that draft. But, you know, it's neither here nor there. Randy's always been an advocate and for my Hall of Fame candidacy, along with a few other guys that feel that I deserve to get in there. So it'll happen whenever it happens.
Fred Taylor joins us here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. And you're part of the Pivot podcast, and we have played clips from the Pivot a number of times on the show. You co-host with Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, and others. Yeah. And you can see it on YouTube. You can see it on Twitter. You can see it on the podcast, obviously. And it's, I find it amazing because you guys get to do something I can't do. You have former athletes step in and they feel so safe and they feel so comfortable because you guys are all peers and you get them to talk about things that you just don't hear. You just do not hear in other spaces. And so I think the Pivot is excellent. It creates so many interesting observations and discussion topics, and it looks like you guys really have a good time doing it. How's the experience been?
The experience has been great. To find myself there, you know, when I started out in the NFL, I would have never thought I would be in media because I barely spoke. But I've been doing some broadcast work with the Jaguars since I've retired. In-stadium analysis as well as post-game radio locally. So that gave me the experience and the confidence to even enter the podcast space. And teaming up with Ryan Clark, who's a consummate pro at what he does, he's a journalism major out of LSU, and he's great on ESPN, on First Take, on Get Up, and every other segment that he's on. Channing Crowder, he has, well over a decade and sports radio as well down here in Miami. So Channing's great. And Channing's really the star of the show. You know, Channing goes viral each and every episode. You can watch the video version on YouTube, as you mentioned. We're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well for the audio. But we just have a great balance and chemistry with Channing being the clown, myself being sort of the guy who brings it back to center, and Ryan's the moderator and driver, facilitator of the show. But it's great. You know, as you mentioned, the players are comfortable. It's a safe space. We're more like a sports talk Oprah. We're just a combination of it all. And if any of the listeners are out there, they can subscribe to our YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and they won't be disappointed. I can assure you that they will not be disappointed because we have a variety of guests, entertainers, celebrities. We just have great conversations.
It is great. And I say this with all admiration and respect. You guys provide something that a lot of us in the media can't. And that is this really safe, familiar space for former athletes to talk to other former athletes about stuff that they can all relate to. And it's interesting and it's insightful and it's fun and it's fast moving and it's sometimes really brash and sometimes.
Yeah, and we can curse a little bit.
That's not bad. You guys can drink during it as well. I'm not allowed to drink during the show, so that helps as well. Open people up.
Drink too. That's the beauty of, I guess, being independent to this point. And but you know, we're respectful of our guests. We're respectful of the viewers. You know, we have a good time. And we try and make magic for everyone. But more than that, we really try to give back. You know, we can talk sports. We can get into that and just keep it football, keep it basketball, hockey, baseball, whatever it might be. We can do all of that. But more importantly, we try to paint pictures that are going to change lives. Because through those conversations and through our guest experiences, through our own personal experiences, we are very vulnerable, you know, in our setting and in our conversations. And I think people relate to that. you know, a lot more than just a typical short form interview. But people love the long format interviews because you get an opportunity to open up and be transparent and see the realness in your favorite sports athlete or celebrity. That realness is real, and people love that.
It's understandable why. It's really good. Fred Taylor, Ryan Clark, Channing Crowder, part of the Pivot podcast. You get on YouTube, on Twitter, and, of course, every place that you can listen to and download your podcasts. Fred, it's really cool to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much. I enjoy the stuff that you guys are doing on the Pivot, and hopefully we can catch up again later on in the football season.
I would love to, and thanks for having me. Be well, be safe.
Back at you. Good stuff. Fred Taylor joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. That's our Sunday conversation. He mentioned that 1998 NFL draft class perhaps being the greatest of all time. Peyton Manning, Hall of Famer, drafted 1 overall. Charles Woodson, Hall of Famer, drafted number 4 overall by the Raiders. Randy Moss is in Canton. He was drafted 21st overall by the Vikings. And Alan Faneca went 26th of the Steelers in the first round. So 4 Hall of Famers, all from the first round. And Fred Taylor trying to become the 5th. Other Hall of Fame nominees or potential candidates who were Pro Bowlers from that squad. Fred Taylor amongst many who were very, very good at what they did. Patrick Surtain, Samari Roll. You also had Kyle Turley, Trey Thomas, Keith Brooking, Takeo Spikes, all making Pro Bowls from that class of 98 squad. Hines Ward also is a 3rd-round draft pick by the Steelers. He's been a semifinalist a number of times as well. Coming up here on the show, we'll do excessive celebrations, some play-by-play calls of yesterday's fun endings around college football. Coming up here next, DA, Sunday Morning Football here on CBS Sports Radio. Standing by with your headlines right now, here's Anthony Pierno.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Sunday Morning Football here on CBS Sports Radio. Each and every Sunday morning, we bring you the coverage of what happened in college football on a Saturday and preview the NFL Sunday. Straight ahead, we'll look at today's slate in the NFL and also make some picks against the number. Larry Hartstein, CBS Sports Line, senior analyst from a sports wagering standpoint, will join us coming up next hour here on the show. But always here on Sunday Morning Football, we look at yesterday's crazy endings in college football. We like to dial it up as excessive celebration. Let's do it.
The soundtrack of college football chaos. The announcers losing their minds.
Got a bunch of folks down there. He called it.
It's excessive celebration.
They win! Holy mother meatballs! It's a touchdown!
Mother Meatballs. We begin with Tulane and Houston. This game was on Friday night. Tulane had not won in Houston since 2014, and the Green Wave was down to its third string quarterback. Houston had kicked a field goal in overtime to take the lead, but here was Tulane looking for the touchdown and the win. Here's how it sounded from the Tulane Radio Network.
Four receivers, two to either side. Horton alone in the backfield with James, the wingback, on the left. Four-man rush for Houston. Horton pumps, throws to the end zone. It's caught! It's caught!
Touchdown!
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 Tulane has won it!
Ow, baby!
Tajay Spears pulls it in, and the Green Wave roar back and snatch it away from Houston.
The Green Wave walks it off against the Cougars. And don't look now, but Tulane, who has perennially been one of the worst teams in college football, is 4-1. They also beat Power 5 K-State. And Kansas State has had a couple of good weeks in a row now. And so an impressive victory over Kansas State, an impressive victory over Houston. Next up, East Carolina. Tulane, somebody to watch in the American. Meantime, we go to Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina. In this game, we are late in the game. Carolina, Coastal Carolina, in the fourth quarter looking for a lead, and we're up and at them. Here's how it sounded on Chanticleer's radio.
One wide out to the battery side, right handoff up the middle. Beasley, Beasley to the 20, Beasley to the 10. Oh, my gosh! He scores! Touchdown! Chanticleer's 38 seconds left!
Gosh, C.J. Beasley hurtled over the top of an Eagle tackler at the 10-yard line, came down on his feet, and ran it in the end zone for six. Wow.
What a cool play. What a big-time play by Beasley, hurtling a defender, going into the end zone. Coastal Carolina gets the win, 34-30. Coastal Carolina, who's become one of the best Group of Five programs in college football, one of the most consistent as well, moves to 5-0 on the season. So again, keep an eye out for Coastal Carolina. Again, they remain unbeaten after the wild finish over Georgia Southern. And finally, we go to UConn. They're taking on Fresno State. It's been a tough go at it for Jim Mora Jr., who's the coach of the Huskies, but in the fourth quarter, on third down, as 24-point underdogs, UConn gets a crucial first down pickup. Here's Mike Crispino on the UConn Huskies Radio Network.
Aaron Turner, handoff inside to Robert Burns. Burns breaks through. First down. Ball game over. At the 15-yard line, Robert Burns puts the nail in the coffin, and the Huskies, 24-point underdogs, are going to upend the Bulldogs.
How about that victory by UConn, knocking off Fresno State as 24-point dogs? These dogs have their day. 19-14, the final score. Congrats to the Huskies. Congrats to Jim Mora Jr. Their only other win on the season was against Central Connecticut. They had lost the previous week to NC State 41-10. They had gotten bludgeoned by Michigan 59-0. Syracuse had hammered them 48-14. But UConn finds a way to get a W over Fresno State as more than three touchdown underdogs. They are 2-4 on the season. Big time win for the Huskies. And that's your excessive celebration. Excellent work by Connor Green, piecing those together. Some really fun endings you may not have heard or seen from college football's weekend. We've got NFL going on right now. It's halftime in London, where Minnesota's Vikings have a 13-7 lead on the New Orleans Saints. You're scoring in this game. Madison goes in from 15 yards out on a pass from Kirk Cousins to lead off the scoring for the Minnesota Vikings. Then a touchdown pass from Andy Dalton, who's under center for the New Orleans Saints because of the Jameis Winston injury. Dalton hits Chris Olave, the rookie, from 4 yards out. That made it 7-7. Then field goals after that. Greg Joseph hit one from 28 and then one from 36 just before the half. And that's where we stand. The Vikings lead at the half in London, 13-7. Game going on as we speak in hour number two of Sunday Morning Football. We'll keep you posted on the third quarter's action. When we come back here on the show, more from the day in college football. Huge one in the ACC, as a couple of top 10 teams went at it, NC State and Clemson from South Carolina. We'll give you the take on that. Also, how about them Jayhawks? And in the NFL, it's go time for a winless squad of the AFC. This is Sunday Morning Football.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.